You know what, Stuart and Jane, we're really happy to meet you because we got our work cut out for us. Am I on? Can you guys hear me? Yeah. No, really, when Brian got up and said that we're on the oversight in order to, you know, to keep them sensible, it's like, well, that ship has sailed. And let's just talk about that. There seems to be a theme today. And two things. Ladies' Day. Hello. It was all the ladies that got up and gave the prophetic word, right? And the second thing was, it seemed to be a nautical theme. It seemed to be all about, H2O and water. And so I'm going to keep with that theme for a minute and something the Lord just spoke to me this morning. A lot of times, listen, can I just say this about last night? The worship was so off the hook, was so, I don't know if anybody ever heard of Jake Isaacs, but he was leading worship. It was so nuts that I thought, I would have paid to show up and worship. I literally would have paid to be there. And the second thing was, is when they were calling us up, I'm like, please don't. Let this not stop. Don't ruin it with us. And the third thing was, I'm like, oh my gosh, Brian, you're so white. It's like, love you guys, but you're so white. It was just like, well, you know, I'm part of the club, you know, whatever. You and I rocking the white pants after Labor Day. Because in America, we'd be arrested for that. You can't wear white pants after Labor Day, so it's pretty cool. You know, whenever, we've come to you guys for a long time. We feel like family. When we walk in the door, we know that we're home. You know, when we stay with Brian and Mary, you know, ask Mary, you know, we're so at home. I just walk in the door. I go to her washing machine. I'm getting my cup. You know, I'm making my own coffee. I mean, we feel the same way when we're among you. You know, we are the family and we are part of the family. But because of that, a lot of times, you know, it's like, I feel like we just told you everything that we know. You know, I'm hoping at some point you're not going to boot us out. Like, okay, what else do you have to tell us? You know, you have the age thing that comes on you. And so as husband and wife, you always have a partner that can say, honey, you told that story before. You know, not again. They've heard it. And, you know, Tom and I will do that with each other a lot. So stop me if you've heard this one. But, you know, when my one thing that I always pray when we go somewhere, and it really is, and I remember sharing with you guys a long time ago how the Lord really, awakened me to this principle. And the principle is to be present, to always be present. When you travel a lot, that's a challenge because you're always in a rush. You're always, you know, we're always on our way somewhere else. And we have never wanted to be those people that like, oh, Chicago, we love you. Oh, wait, where are we? Oh, Harlow, love you, Harlow. You know, that's horrible. That's so impersonal. That's so wrong. And I think it's not just a thing on me because I travel, it's on you. That sometimes our lives are so caught up and so busy that we cease to be present in the moment to the people we're currently with. And it's something the Lord wants. We always calm ourselves and we always need to say, wait a minute, right now I'm standing in front of Colette and it's all about Colette and it's nothing about me. And that presence, being present. And because of that, my prayer after I had kind of that epiphany moment, it's so stupid that I had to have a revelation about that, but I think probably everybody needs that revelation, is that I remember just thinking, Lord, I don't want to come into places with sermon number 121. You know, I don't want to, well, okay, what have I not spoke to them? Okay, I'm going to throw this one out. People love this one. They love the jokes in it, whatever. That's no. What I always want to do and what I always pray, and this is my prayer, I always say, Lord, I just want to bring fresh bread today. I don't want to bring day old bread. I don't want to bring something that I baked a year ago and froze and pull it out of the freezer and defrost it and try to feed it to you guys. I want fresh bread. And for me, on a personal note, that constantly drives me to the feet of Jesus. And it's not always just because I got to get bread to deliver bread. It's because I personally need the bread. I need the fresh revelations every day. And when I come before you, what I want to break, I want to speak to you out of the abundance of the heart, out of what I've gathered, out of what I've eaten. I want to deliver that to you because you can't get any fresher than that. So it was, we were at a meeting the other day, and this young girl who doesn't know me, doesn't know that's my prayer, doesn't know anything. It was in Brighton last week at a woman's thing. She got up. And it's so cool because she's not in ministry and she's a young, young girl. And she got up and she said, Susie, this is so cool. The Lord just showed me that he wants to give you fresh bread. And I'm like, yes, he does. That's awesome. And she goes, no, I just see it like when you walk around that people smell you and you smell like bread. It's like, I want to smell like bread. You know, honestly, if I had a choice, if we all had to pick a scent that we would be, I would be lemon cookies. Just going to throw that out there. Lemon cookies. So if ever you walk by me and you smell lemon cookies, the Lord has done a miracle in me. But you know, just that whole principle of that the freshness of your walk with the Lord. So this morning, so what I do, now Tom, I always share that Tom taught me this a long time ago when we first got married, like a billion years ago. And he said, you know, cause he was already in ministry when I married him. And I remember, you know, when I was going to go speak and I would overstudy and stuff, and he'd always say, honey, listen, you go to the well and you drink. You don't go to the well to, you know, get up the water so that I can carry it to the people. No, you go to the well and you drink from Jesus. And when you go out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to speak. That water is going to well up inside of you and come forth. And so that was a relief for me because I was getting exhausted pulling up the water. But what I do, even though I go to the well daily and I drink, you know, there are times right before a meeting, you know, I want to prepare. I want to be ready. And so what I've started doing, and on the days that I assign myself to get down to it and to study and to get ready for something, what I do is I put on my calendar on my iPad, I put on baked bread. You know, and so what happens is the next morning I'll wake up and my calendar alert will come up and it'll say baked bread. And the first day I remember thinking, did I sign up for something? Like, is there a potluck I'm supposed to be? I don't even bake bread. And then all of a sudden I went, oh yeah, bake bread. I want to go and get all those ingredients and put together something. This morning, you know, yesterday it had come up, bake bread. I mean, we're ministering every day, so it's like baking bread every day. And, you know, and I'm like, Lord, this morning, what is the bread? Now, you're probably surprised. You're like, what? You weren't prepared like a week ago? It's like sometimes for Tom and I, it's like we want to come in fresh. We're going to come in here and say, hey, what's happening, Lord? Here we are. Send us. What can we bring to this environment? What? Not an assumption. Because I do think the Lord can tell you well ahead of time, and he often does. And sometimes he doesn't. He's like, no, you're just going to wait. It's like, okay, well, that's a great walk of faith, and that's fine. But this morning I said, Lord, what is the bread? What is the loaf? Is it a marble rye? Is it a wheat? What are we bringing today? And the Lord said, fish. We're bringing fish today. And so I thought, that's cool. And then when I started getting all these boats and, you know, Julie, that was so good. And look what you set off. Just, you know, when that word came and you were obedient to bring it, you know, it set off everybody else hearing the voice of the Lord. You know, Jane, you know, I know everybody in between. Jane, that was just so profound and deep. It's like, yeah, yeah. But, you know, there's fish involved in the water. And what it brought me to, and of course, when you think of fish in the Bible and you think of it in the New Testament, what do you go to? You go to the story of the bread and the fish, right? And you think about that moment, and we all know the story. We've all gone over it. I'm going to read it from Matthew 14. And this is the incredible thing about this moment when the fish and the bread was presented. This is what's crazy about it. Jesus had just found out that somebody he loved deeply had died. John the Baptist had been beheaded. He loved him deeply. And yet the Lord rose up. It says this. If you go up to verse, in 14, verse 12, it says, well, where is it? At some point, I can't find it right now. But basically, the disciples come to Jesus and tell him what's happened to John. And so then it goes to verse 13 and says this, when Jesus heard it, when he heard what had happened to somebody that was beloved to him, You know, we just lost a friend. We literally on the plane, we got on the plane to come here last Thursday, and I knew that I knew. I thought, Katie's going to go while we're in the air. And sure enough, when we had landed, she had passed, and we adored her. And so, you know, I have this current present pain to go, wow, you know, it hurts. You know, it hurts when you lose somebody. And I was thinking about Jesus here. Do you understand that he was real, people? You know, he wasn't floating on a cloud. I mean, the Lord, he came and he felt and he experienced the sufferings and the pain that we feel. He understands what we go through. And it says this, when Jesus heard it, he departed there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Because I think that's also our first thing is like, man, let me just process this. Let me go grieve. It's okay to grieve. Do you understand that? It really bugs me when happy clappy Christians are like, oh, well, they're with the Lord. It's like, duh, I know that. That's okay, but it's okay for me to grieve loss of somebody who I'm going to miss here on earth. It's like, wow, I don't like that Katie's not on earth with us anymore. I'm super happy for her. I'm super delighted that she's out of the grip of cancer. I know she's having a ball up there, no doubt. But the grief, you want to depart because it's like, I just need to process for a moment what's gone on. I need to have sorrow for what is past. So that's okay. And the Lord is on his way to do that. And this is what's really cool. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. You know, sometimes you don't get a break. You know what I mean? You just don't get a break. And so here the Lord is going off to mourn the loss of somebody he loves. And the multitudes are like, yeah, we're really sorry, but we have need. Meet our need. Give to us, you know. And hey, it's human nature. We are by nature consumers. You know, we just, and by nature, by our sin nature, it's always about us. I need. Why do you think when people find out there's a prophetic voice, everybody shows up to a prophetic meeting? If you have a meeting about serving, good luck with that. Like five people, maybe. And that's going to be you, your husband, and your two kids, and maybe one other person. But if it's a prophetic word, everybody's there. Why? Because it's, I want. And, you know, I'm not pointing fingers out. I thought it was funny that Brian said, Tom says the hard messages. I always feel like I'm the ones that kick your butt. I'm the one that's always up here. Guys, knock it off. Listen, when Mauricio got up and said, I need help carrying stuff to the dump. You know, I thought, oh, man, dude, I hope they show up. If I was going to be here, I would show up. How many of you are going to show up for him? What is it, next Friday? Saturday. Oh, no, that's not enough. How many people are going to show up? Okay, there's a need. Guys, it's not rocket science. You need to show up. You need to serve. You need to give. I'll get back to that in a minute, okay? But the multitudes heard it, and they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw them. So he's gone out to mourn. He looks out, and he sees them coming. And he doesn't get ticked off. He doesn't hate him for it. It says this, he saw the great multitude and he was moved with compassion. And he was moved with compassion for them and he went and he healed their sick. For God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And even in his own personal need, he came to give away. And in that moment of grief, he turns, he sees not his own personal need. He sees the need of the people and compassion moves on him and he rises up and he forgets his moment of, can I just be alone for a minute? I need this time. He's like, no, let's do it. Let's go and let's love these people and let's serve them. And then it goes on to say this. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes home. Send them away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food. So, you know, hey, Lord, they're here. There's nothing around here to eat. The people are hungry. You know, to be honest, what I think, the disciples were hungry and they were tired. And they're like, Lord, for their sake, get them out of here and let them go home and eat so we can try to find something to eat. Probably, you know, they're human too. Okay, so he's like, but then what does Jesus say? He says, they don't need to go away. Bring me what you have. Bring me what you have. There's the key right there. In fact, in different verses, it says the different ways. Here in the New King James, it says, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Lord, seriously, we just went over this. There's nothing here. We have nothing. And then it says, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there are multitudes. Okay, this meeting, there's quite a few people. You do not qualify as a multitude. Multitudes are big numbers, like 5,000. And so when you have, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish, it ain't cutting it. And then the Lord says this, bring them here to me. Now, I love this. The Lord says first, he looks at them, he puts it on them. You give them something to eat. Now, I'm pretty sure the Lord probably was aware of the situation and how much food was. He didn't see them carrying in big ice chests full of coolers full of, you know, fish and stuff. He knew. But when he said that, he knew. He said, no, you do it. And their, you know, their thought is they were thinking only on, you know, in human terms. No, we only have this. And the Lord says, well, bring me what you have and let me bless it. The other day we went to this thing, a week ago. We were in Southampton and it was our friend Paul Weston. He pastors a church in Sidcup called New Gen, and they have been accumulating schools and turning them into free schools. Super proud of them for doing that. And they had a ribbon cutting and a dedication to their new school in Southampton. And we got invited to go. And we went there. And because it was Southampton, you know those dedication services and the ribbon cutting things, they invite the dignitaries and the, you know, the local political guys. And then, of course, they searched around and, like, who's famous from Southampton? Now, there's this one guy, I'm not going to say it. There's this one guy, and he's a famous footballer. I cannot remember his name because I don't really care about your football. I care about our football. The real football. No, I'm not going to say it. But I'm kidding. I love your football. And so no, I don't. It's so boring. It's a loser. So they bring in this guy, and he was, like, super famous. And so there's only, like, 40 people at this ribbon cutting. And so everybody was really a buzz. Oh, so-and-so's here. I gotta find out his name. And they're really, really, what? Yes, it was him, right? Are you impressed? Okay. So really cool, and everybody's all excited. And when you're in a room of 40 people, it's like, ooh, it's really cool. Somebody super famous is here. And, like, I didn't care. It's like, whatever. You don't even wear nothing. You don't wear pads or nothing. And he got up, and he shared. And they had brought the little children, because the school's already functioning. They had brought the little kids in. And he got up, and he said this. He said, you know what? I was not the best footballer, and I never have been. I was not the best student at school. I was not the best. And he just went through this thing basically saying, I'm kind of a mediocre player. And I wasn't the best or the most famous. And he said, but I had success. And I thought, I don't know, when he said that, I think, you know, a lot of times we're always clamoring, or we use the excuse, well, Lord, I'm not the best, so hey, why do it? I'm not the best preacher. I'm not Lisa Bevere. I'm not Bobby Houston or what are they? I'm not Joyce Myers. Why even try? I'm never going to be them. I'm not the best at anything. In fact, last night when we were watching that worship team, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even sing. I mean, I play guitar badly. I'm like, I told them the only true born skill that I have is parallel parking. I am, like, brilliant at it. It's, like, in me. It's like I was born with it. And that's it. It's my only natural talent. And when he said that, I thought, you're right. I don't have to be the best to bring what I have, not just parallel parking. I often say to Tom, get out of the car. Let me take over. Let me park this baby. But, you know, and there's something about that when he said that, that was freeing. You know, listen, guys, what do you have? The Lord looks at you and he says, bring me what you have. Because every day you and I are faced with need. It's all around us. Everybody's got a problem. You know, we got family members that are in the toilet. We've got, you know, work people at work that were thinking their life is so messed up. What am I, how, I got to bring them to church and bring them to Brian and Mary. No. You know, we're always looking, somebody else has got to do it. No, the Lord says, what do you have? Lord, I got nothing. I got parallel parking. That's all I got. What am I going to do with that? No, Susie, bring me what you have. I'm going to bless it. And you're going to go and you're going to distribute, because that's what happened. As the disciples brought Jesus the fish and the bread, and the Lord blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, and they went and distributed what had been given. And there was more than enough. In fact, they collected leftovers. And I think that's what the Lord calls us to us. And you say right now, well, what do, I don't even have a fish. That's not true. If you have a car, you can go pick up cuttings. You know? Well, that's not ministry. Oh no, it is. It is. When Margaret gets up and says, guys, we have three people to do messy church. Messy church sounds like you need more than three people. Just the whole phrase. It's messy. We need help. What do I have to bring? You need to show up. You need to show up because you have that. Well, what can I do if I show up? Hey, you can pick up trash. That's okay. Do you understand that that's actually ministry? It is not standing up front in front of people. It is not, listen, I do, you know, this is nothing. This is 10% of what we do. A Sunday morning's 10%. You can show up. You can clean somebody's house. You can show up. Well, I don't know if I'm qualified to teach children in nursery about Jesus because I've only known the Lord a short time. Let me tell you a story. When I was 15 years old, and I've given you my testimony, you guys all know it by heart, but I remember when I found Christ at 8 o'clock at night on a Tuesday night, I accepted Jesus into my heart. I knew nothing about him until that moment when that guy told me, there's a God and he had a son and the son died for you and you need to receive the son into your life and be joined back to God. That was the extent of my understanding about God. At the end of the meeting, at about 8:45, these guys, these Jesus freaks back in 1973, these Jesus freaks got up to me and they said, okay, Susie, you met Jesus. I accepted him in my heart. And they said, hey, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we're going to pick you up in a van in front of school and you're going to get in the van and we're going to take you to the mall and you're going to share your faith. Okay? 3 o'clock, the van pulls up. I don't know. That's what they said to do. I get in the van. We go to the mall. And I am not born again 24 hours. Not 24 hours. And I'm running around the mall going, oh, my gosh, there's a God. And he has a son, Jesus Christ. And his son had to die on the cross so that that chasm between us and God, he could lay across and that we could come across. Because that was the extent of my biblical knowledge. I hadn't even read the Bible. Oh, wait, I hadn't even read the Bible. I'm not even sure they gave me a Bible that night. I think I got it the next week. And people accepted Christ that day. Amen. Because I had all that I needed. You know, Julie, when you were saying that word about the anchor, you know, I kept thinking of that scripture. Having done all, stand. Stand. Where are you going to stand? Well, I'm going to stand on the one piece of truth I know like it's a rock. I'm going to stand here. I know that I met Jesus. That's what I know. Now, that qualifies me now. I don't need to take walking, you know, Tom always says about walking on water. You don't need to take walking on water 101. There's no preparation for that. You know, you don't need to, well, I need to be in Essence for, you know, how many weeks does Essence go? How many months? 9 months. Listen, you know, when I've completed Essence, I will go and serve and give. No, you do it now. Isaiah 58, you know, somewhere in Isaiah 58, I think it's down in verse 6. There's this, and I've preached it to you guys a billion times. And it basically, in the Revised Susie Version, RSV, it says this. And this is what it says. In the midst of your own need, your sickness, your darkness, your own problems, your own poop. You know, I'll say that word because that seems safe. In the midst of your own poop, if you will stretch forth your hand and go and give away yourself and love somebody, you will be healed speedily. Amen. Well, that's a good deal. Wait a minute, Lord, when I'm all cleaned up, then I'll go serve the church. You're not going to ever be cleaned up. Give me what you have. What do you have? I got a car with a trunk or a boot. What do you call it? The back. It's a boot. I got a car with a boot. I can do that. I don't know everything about the Bible, but I can show up and play with small children and love them and help teach them about Jesus just by my love for them. I can do that. And as you begin to progress, guys, this is what happens. What you have multiplies. And it multiplies and it multiplies and people get fed and people are blessed. And you know what happens? You get healed. In my life, I remember feeling like the most inadequate person on the face of the earth. I married a guy with a brilliant ministry. He was charismatic, and in our little area in California, he was well known and had, you know, a certain amount of fame. And I married this guy, and I'm like, what? I literally, for the first 3 years of our marriage, maybe even longer, I would often look at Tom and say, why'd you marry me? I don't even play piano. You know, because back then, you know, the minister married the girl that led worship. It's like, what a waste. Why did you pick me? I mean, I would always think, I literally, it took me years to overcome. I loved him and I was his friend before, and I would think, oh, honey, you blew it there. Yeah, you should have married Christy. I told you to marry Christy. I literally used to set him up with people that I thought would be better suited for him. Little did I know the treasure that I was and how blessed he would be to have me. Right? I know, it's so true. It's so true. But you know what I had to learn through my life is to, number one, is to stop believing the lies. Because Satan's full-time job, listen, read Revelation. I think it's 3 or 12, but in Revelation it tells you this, that Satan's job on a daily basis is to stand before the Lord and accuse us and tell him why we're not worth it and why we're pieces of dirt. And it says that Satan is the father of all lies. There is no truth found in him. If you read the Word of God, you got to find out about the promises and the truths about you, that God chose you. That he loves you. That in your weakness, he will be made strong. In other words, I don't really care about your weakness. It's okay because I'm in you. And when you're weak, that's all right because I'll be made strong. So when you take those truths, if you believe those, you're doing good. But the minute the enemy comes and says, you're weak. You're a loser. You have failed. And you sit there and listen to him. Number one, to me, this is what I tell myself. When I start listening to the enemy tell me that stuff and I start believing his lies, I have to remind myself, Susie, are you literally spitting on the cross of Christ? Are you literally saying to God, this was not enough? You should have died twice for me. Is he not big enough? Was his sacrifice not enough? And then you know the thing I always tell you, my favorite prophetic word to give you? If you think you're the one person that the promises of God are not going to be for, what do I say? You're not that special. You are not that person that God is going to turn into a liar for. You know, really? Are you that special? No, you're not. I'm telling you right now, you're not. Get over yourself. God's not going to change all that he is and has ever been, the God of love, infinite compassion, mercy, and kindness, just so he can disappoint you. You're just not that person. That's good news. You know, when I say you're not special, it's like, I embrace that. I would embrace that. I am not that special. My God is not shifting or changing. There's no shadow found in him. That he remains with me. And if he is in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:28. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ Jesus lives in Susie Brock. And when she shows up, he shows up. And no matter what I'm doing, if I'm hauling trash to the dump, I am loving you. If I am preaching in front of hundreds, I am loving you. If I am serving my grandkids dinner, I am loving you. And Satan, you need to shut up. And I need to show up. Show up. Margaret said she needs help. Show up. Mauricio said he needs help. Show up. Who else needed help? Did you need help? Team, show up. There are enough people in this room to do everything. If you are not showing up because you're waiting and you're grumbling about the piece of fish or the maybe you feel like you only got the skeleton of the fish. Show up with the skeleton of the fish. Okay? And ask the Lord to bless it and get busy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that concludes our nautical theme for the day. Tom, come here. We have no time. No, I kid you not. He said to me, honey, take all the time you want. Well, then I did. So whatever. Close this out, baby. You can say the closing prayer.
Well, thanks. Thank you all for coming. Okay. See, I didn't do that. See, she does it. She's the mean one. I have scars. Let me show you. No, but I just want to just say this to you prophetically, just in kind of that whole theme. You know, a lot of times I was sharing last night with the group just this little thing we're working on about the guy at the pool, you know, who was waiting for the angel to come and stir the pool and so that he could jump in the water, but he was crippled, so he never made it in. But he'd been there 38 years. You'd think he would have devised a plan in 38 years to roll in or something, you know. But anyway, but that's like us sometimes, you know. We kind of sit by the pool waiting for that miraculous thing to take place, and we never get healed. And so what do you do for a living? I sit by the pool and I beg, you know, and that's that. But I think what the Lord's saying and all that's being shared this morning is that it's time to get healed. It's time to get set free. And the word of the Lord is simple. Pick up your mat and get healed. Come on. Let's go home. Let's pick up with the situation that we're dealing with, the same old problem. You know, even though we've come into a situation of route where we've done it over and over and over again, it can all be concluded by the touch of Jesus, right? And that's really what I think the Lord wants to do this morning, is to bring it to a conclusion of saying, I want to heal you. I want to set you free. You don't know Jesus? It's real simple. Meet Jesus. Yeah. You know, well, don't we have to play soft music? Well, we don't have the band. We left them in down south. I'm sorry, Brian. But, you know, it's like, do we have to lower the lights? Do we have to, you know, do we have to sing the song softly? Do we have to coerce you? Do we have to give something away? No, we just have to say this. Come, Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit come and bring life into each and every one of us. You know, I was just picked this up last night. Again, this isn't fully developed in thinking, but, you know, there were five colonnades there around the pool. And I thought, oh, those are the five senses, you know, the things that we deal with. And in this room, you know, we have mental problems. Okay. And we have emotional problems. We have physical problems, you know, and things that have been put into us by what we've heard and so on and so forth. They've all limited us and we've been crippled by the pool. Okay. And in that, in this situation, the Lord didn't say, oh, well, I only heal this kind of thing, or I only heal that kind of thing. He just said, you want to be healed? You know, do you want to be healed? And I think that's what the Lord wants to speak to us today is, do you want to be healed? Physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it may be, I believe the Lord wants to set the captives free. Here's why. Not that we can walk around saying, cool, I'm healed, but then that you can actually show up and begin to participate and serve the kingdom, you know, as participants within the kingdom of God. Does that make sense to you? And see, you have to understand that this is a give and take. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to save you all. I'm going to bring you to a place of fullness so that you can go into all the world. Yeah. Right? I don't want you to keep what you have dormant. I want you to express it to everyone that you come in contact with. Right? So come, Holy Spirit. And I don't care what your problem is today. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what the emotional situation is. I don't care what the physical situation is. Spiritual oppression, you know, listen, we all qualify, you know, we have problems. And the Lord isn't sweating over how long you've had that problem. You know, in that particular scripture we're talking about, it was 38 years that the guy laid by the pool. 38 years. Well, I've got problems that are older than that, you know, right? But Jesus doesn't break out in a sweat over it. He wants to bring healing to you. So, Lord, I pray right now that you would just begin to move in this room. Show your power. Show your life. Bring your liberty in this house, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would clear the pool. The whole promenade, Lord. That everyone who's been sitting by the pool, hoping, wishing, you know, for that stirring that they could jump in and get set free. I pray right now you would surprise us outside the box. And so you don't have to wait for the stirring. I'm here. And I'm telling you this. Be healed. Be healed. And there's been several references this morning about the loss. And I just want to make sure that if you're here this morning and you haven't made that decision about Jesus, you haven't moved him from your head, you know, all the information that you've heard about him, and you haven't let that drop into your heart, then, you know, you'll miss it. You'll miss heaven, you know, whatever system you're on. If it's inches, it's 33. And if it's metric, it's 11. But you know, you're going to miss him by that distance between the head and the heart. And that's a bad way to miss heaven. And God wants to bring that information from your head of just knowing about him, hearing about him, knowing that he's a great guy, but actually bring him in and having him as your Lord and Savior. It's the difference between saying, I do or I don't. And I do can, you know, lock you up for a long time. And in that, that's what the Lord wants to do, is bring about that in your life. So if you're here and you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you know Jesus is in your heart, you need to know. That's heavy theology, I know, but it really is the truth. And, you know, you need to receive Jesus this morning. This is the best day to get born again. Not as good as yesterday, but much better than tomorrow. This is a good day to be born again. If you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord this morning, if you want to know that you know, you want to make that decision, just right where you're sitting, you know, just raise up your hand. Just when you're doing that, you're saying, I'm in. I want to join in. I want to know Jesus. We're not going to, you know, sing it again. We're not going to give away anything. This is just it. So if you want to meet Jesus, would you wave at me right now that I can pray with you? We can all pray with you for you to receive Jesus. Just checking. Yeah, great. Awesome. Anybody else want to meet Jesus today? Great. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Great. Let's do this, since there's so many that are asking the Lord to come in. Can we pray this together, all of us out loud? We'll call it the prayer. And for those of you that are believers, don't worry. God has a great accounting system. There's no double entries, you know, so he's got you. But let's pray this with our new brothers and sisters so they can come to that point of confidence in their life. So I'm going to ask you to pray this with me. It's not magic words. It's not a formula. It's the attitude of the heart. And the words, you know, are just like this. We're going to say it this way. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now because I really want to know you. I want to know that you are my Lord and my Savior. I want you to take over my life. I ask your forgiveness for all those things I've done wrong, even the things I didn't know was wrong. I ask you to bring forgiveness in my life. I ask you to come in now and be my Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. I believe you did it for me. And so I thank you now for coming into my heart and being my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a clap on that one. Thank you. Now, just to let you know, this is for believers and, you know, new believers, that this is the biggest party in heaven. It's what the scripture says. It causes all heaven to rejoice when people come into the kingdom of God. So you want a good praise and worship? Party on. You know, that's how that works. Now, for those of you that prayed the prayer this morning, we're going to ask you before you leave this, you know, in the next 5 hours before we finish. But, you know, can we have some more announcements, right? Okay. But, you know, before you leave, I want you to come up, talk to Brian and Mary or, you know, just somebody and get, you know, we want your name, address, bank account. No. That comes later. No, but no, give your information so they can get a Bible to you. Tell you what's going on and introduce you into the, you know, to the body. Cause you're no longer, the good news is you're born again. The bad news is you're part of this family. You know, it's like, sorry, you inherit us. You know, that's how it works. But in that, this is your family and we want to welcome you and bring you into that place of life. Does that make sense? Okay. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I know it's a little bit awkward, but you know, get over it. You know, you come to a place that has messy church. Come on. You know, that's like, what do you do? If this isn't messy, I don't know what is. All right. But that's that. All right. Just to let you know. Yeah. Yeah. One more time. Just let me think of one more thing. Okay. No. But in the same way that we come to this point of salvation, which I thought was most important this morning, that is that we also now allow the Lord to set the captives free. You know, guys, that's us. Come on, aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Yeah. You know, right? You could get that tattooed. But you need to see that we don't need to carry this bundle of garbage in our lives anymore. You know, we can cut it off. You could bring it Saturday, wouldn't you? Couldn't they? They could put it in there, you could take it to the dump. But, you know, but we need to cut this stuff off our ankle. We need to cut it off our back. We need to be free. You know, sometimes when people look at us and, you know, you go, yeah, I'm part of the church. What happened to you? I got born again. It's like, oh, keep it to yourself. It looks fatal, you know, right? And so, you know, if you're happy and you know it, tell your face. You know, I mean, it's like, you know. And we want that freedom to come into our lives because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy our joy, our peace, and our righteousness within the kingdom of God. He wants to neutralize us. Why? Because he wants you to be grumpy? No, because he knows that if others don't see the light, right, they're not going to be drawn in. Come, Holy Spirit, bring deliverance in the house. Lord, I just sense that you would stir the pool outside the pool, that you would bring freedom in the house, that we would no longer walk with that depression, no longer walk with that fear, no longer walk with that insecurity, that we can walk in the fullness of your Spirit and see this captive right here, me, set free in Jesus' name. Come, Lord. I need a brainwashing, God. Turn up the power. All that stuff, all those preconceived ideas, all that guilt, all those accusations, all the condemnation, all the other stuff. Come, Holy Spirit, we receive the word. We want to be healed. We pick up our mat and we walk. No more dramatics. Just come, Lord. We thank you for that freedom. We thank you for that life. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think we can pray for you afterwards, but I think truthfully, guys, it's just like Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't, you know what it says later on? They're going, hey, what are you doing carrying him out on the Sabbath? He goes, well, the guy who healed me told me to do it. Where is that guy? He'd slipped out. What the heck? He didn't say, I'm signing autographs right after, he just disappeared because the work was done. Guys, you need to own your miracle. You need to own your impartation. Yes. You need to implement what God has said. Yeah, we'll pray if you need help more or whatever. But I just really sense the word of the Lord today is pick up your mat and walk. All right? Bless you.